So this summer, our object will be each week to take a different parable. We'll have 15 weeks of this summer, and we will take a different parable every single week. This parable feels like a really good one to start, because in this parable that we'll look at today in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, there's two different things that's happening here that are a little bit different than many of the parables we see. The first being that within this parable, Jesus explains the purpose of the parables. And so as we begin looking at parables this summer, good to get an understanding of what he says is the purpose, so we can take a moment to discuss that. And we also are going to look at this parable first, because within this, he gives an explanation of what's happening. And so it allows us to kind of form a pattern in which we can look at many of the other parables we'll see, where we don't always get an explanation, but we might be able to, in this one, develop a pattern in which we are able to examine the other parables that we'll encounter in the future. In the book of Luke, where we are today, this is where we find the most amount of parables that we see within Scripture. Luke contains a good number of them, though some of these are repeated in other books as well. Matthew kind of comes in second in terms of parables, but Luke certainly has the most, and he certainly has the most unique ones that are just found in Luke. What is a parable, perhaps we're asking? We could start there. Parables are made-up short stories that illustrate a point. Jesus is using a frame point, a common thing that the people that are listening to him might be able to understand. In today's, he's talking about perhaps a farmer or a gardener, someone who would sow seeds. And for the people who are living in an agrarian culture, in a culture that is very much so built around what they could harvest and grow, this was a common touch point for many of the people who are there listening to him. He'll give parables as well about other things that people can understand. For us, some of these touch points aren't so common, and so we might have to do a little bit more thinking about the point that he's trying to tell in the story, because perhaps it's not something as common to us today. However, none of these are things that require some kind of deep secret knowledge. None of these are things that we just can't possibly touch and understand. And commonly, as Jesus was using these short stories to illustrate some kind of point, it was actually in response to a question that would be asked of him. They would say, "Teacher," they'd say, "Rabbi," they would say, "Jesus, what is the answer to this question?" And rather than give them a very direct answer, he sometimes would answer with a parable. He would use a story to kind of illustrate towards the point that he was trying to reach. And so as we look at these parables, we are looking at them trying to see the teaching that he's pointing to. Now, often there's very good lessons for us in terms of how might we live life? What are things that we want to do? But really, ultimately with parables, they're kind of driving at three primary things. And one of them even more so than the other two. Parables are trying to teach about salvation by and large. They also touch on the coming kingdom of Jesus, and they touch on what do we as the citizens of those kingdoms do within his kingdom by people who have received salvation. So as we're reading these, our mind wants to first come towards that. We want to consider what is being said about salvation, what is being said about the coming kingdom of the Lord. And then we begin to examine for us, how do we fit into this? What do we do? As we're going through these, we want to try to understand that not always do all three aspects get touched on. Sometimes as we're looking through this, it might not speak much of anything to the coming kingdom. It might really be just driving at salvation. And then how does that apply into our lives? And today's is one of those examples. Today is speaking towards something that has to do with receiving the message of the gospel. And we can consider within that, okay, well, what do I do with that then? Okay, here, I've learned this lesson, and how can I take it and apply it for myself? So to understand these stories, we want to try to come and grasp a little bit of what he's trying to say. Because something that we're going to see today in verses 9 to 10 is that the parables weren't always meant to bring perfect clarity. Though they do help us make something that Jesus is trying to teach bring to a more concrete point, it's not always the most obvious and clear-cut thing. So to understand these parables, the first thing that we want to do is we want to pray for clarity and understanding. And then I think the second step that's really helpful in trying to understand a parable is to look at the story of the parable and just understand the story that Jesus is trying to teach. What is it that he is saying, and what is it that is happening within this story? Because that story is representative of wherever we're then trying to take it. If we immediately jump to spiritualizing it, then we might really miss the point. So once we've prayed for clarity, and then once we've sought to just understand the story that's happening, the next thing that we want to do is we want to use Scripture to try to understand the spiritual point that Jesus is getting to. Sometimes we don't have to read very far, like today. In the Scripture that we're reading, we could just see the parable in verses 4 through verse 8. And then we could just read that parable and say, okay, there is the parable. And we could try to draw some kind of understanding. But if we read on in verses 11 to 15, we're going to find the explanation of the parable. The Scripture will tell us what we ought to think and believe about this parable. And sometimes for some of the others, like we mentioned, they're not always going to have a clear-cut explanation given by Jesus with them, but we still can go and say, okay, here is what we seem to understand about the story, and then we can use other Scripture that we find in the Bible, other teachings of Jesus. The messages of the apostles, as they're relaying the teaching of Jesus to us, we can go and examine that to bring back to a solid point. As we're considering, okay, this might be what he's trying to say. I think this might be the point. Well, can we go and find Scripture that would say, well, no, because this verse, then it really can't be that. Or maybe we reach a conclusion and we say, oh yeah, well actually that lines up with what this verse teaches and what this verse teaches and what Paul says over here. And so by examining the rest of the Scripture, we can bring ourselves towards the point of the parable. So with that introduction to parables kind of being said, let's jump into today's parable where we're going to see this message, this story around the receiving of the gospel, around the receiving of God's word. And like we said, it's told through the lens of farming, maybe gardening, but the sowing of seeds. So we're going to begin by reading verses 4 through verse 8, and we're just going to examine the story at first. So Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, it says this. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So to set the scene for us, Jesus has been going around, and very recently he's been performing some miracles, and he's gathered about a great crowd. And as he's gathered about a great crowd, and he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, as he's doing all this, it tells us in verse 4, this great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him. So as he's been performing these miracles, we can also know that he's not just here to perform miracles. He's bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what it tells us in chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus had a message to share beyond simply just the miracles that he was performing. And in sharing this message, we don't see exactly what was asked. We don't see exactly what he kind of led into. But as this crowd is gathering, he tells them this in a parable. So like we said, here we prayed for understanding at the beginning. Now let's examine the story that we have in front of us. Before we try to make any kind of spiritual point about it, let's just see what is happening within our story. So we have this farmer or this gardener who's spreading the seeds of his crop so that they might grow. And we saw that these seeds land in four different places, and each place that it lands leads to a different outcome. So first, we had the seed that lands on the path. And we see what happens to the seed that lands on the path. It was trampled under the foot, and birds came and collected the seeds. It had no chance to grow. So that was our very first one. Seed number one lands on the pathway. It has no chance to grow. It's stepped on, and the birds come and devour it immediately. Seed number two lands on rocky ground, and it tries to grow. It kind of tries to begin to sprout up, but it withers because there's no moisture. It's rocky ground, so there's really not much soil, and that soil is what holds the moisture and the nutrients. And so as the seedling kind of sprouts, it goes nowhere. It just is dies pretty much immediately. So first seed has no growth at all. It's immediately devoured. Second seed on rocky ground, it tries to sprout, but it has nothing in which it can take from, and it pretty much immediately dies out. Seed number three, it falls amongst the thorns, and it begins to sprout, but as it's growing, it gets choked out by these thorns. The thorns don't allow it to become any kind of serious plant. But last, different than all the others, is the seed that falls into the good soil. And it grows and it yields its fruit 100-fold. So these are our four seeds. This is the story that Jesus is telling us. There's a sower of seeds. He throws out his seeds and they land in different situations. And again, we have the first that gets trampled under the foot, devoured by the birds. It goes nowhere. We have the second that lands on rocky ground. It tries to grow. It tries to sprout, but it has no moisture. It has no ability to become anything more than a sprout, and it withers and dies. The third lands in the thorn. It begins to grow just a little bit, but as it's growing, as it's beginning to take form, it's choked out by the thorns that surround it. And lastly, we have the seed that lands in good soil, and it produces 100-fold. So as we're looking at this, notice that three of the four start to grow, but only one of those three is actually praised for yielding fruit. So as we're going to begin to examine, okay, what are we saying here about these seeds? How do I understand what Jesus is trying to say? We can recognize that the one that's different is this very last seed. There's something about this last seed that was good and different because it has yielded fruit, or perhaps it's wheat and it's not fruit, but it has yielded within its crop 100-fold. There's something about that last one that we want to identify that's a little bit different. There's something about that that we can see is separate from the others. Now, as we get into verse 9 and 10, we see Jesus describe what is the purpose of the parable. So we kind of take an interruption from the story here, because in verse 9 and 10 it says this: "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" So the disciples have asked him, what's the purpose of all of this? Why do you tell us this parable? Jesus wasn't the only person in the world to ever teach in parable. And they're kind of asking, hey, why have you said this in this parable? And he tells them that, you know, for you guys, for you disciples, I've been speaking plainly and clearly to you. But for some, these are in parables. And for some people, they're going to hear this and they're going to be able to receive it. But for others, he quotes here from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, that some of them would hear but not understand. Some of them would see but not actually see. And so as Jesus is answering these questions, he is seeking for the people who are rightly searching after him, who are rightly here to listen. And for those that are just trying to hear whatever it is that they want to hear, for people like the Pharisees who at this point have received judgment, then allow them to continue to be walking blind because they will not hear the true message. The purpose of the parables was not so that we would be able to have this super hyper clear, like, oh, I get it all now. The purpose of the parables was so that for those who are seeking to understand Jesus in what his message is, that they would be able to have a tangible thing in which they could hear and examine and understand in context with the rest of his teaching. And that for others, that they could hand wave it away and say, this foolish man, I already didn't think much of him. We already think that his miracles are being done by the power of the demons. And now here he is talking about farmers. Enough with him. Let's go away. It is so that those who have, as he says in verse 8, those who have ears to hear, that they might hear. This is why we pray for this before any time we examine God's word, so that we would be people who are looking to have ears to hear, that we might hear, that we aren't seeking our own understanding. We aren't seeking to hear our own desires in the word of Jesus, but that we would come to his word and we would be ready to listen to whatever it is that he has to teach us, that we might be able to see the truth of his message and not just seek out the things that we desire from him. Now in verse 11, he's going to get back to the point of this very parable that he's sharing and teaching. In verse 11, he's going to begin to examine these four seeds that we saw. Again, to remind us, we had the seed on the path that was trampled, the seed on the rocky ground that withered, the seed in the thorns that was choked out, and the seed in the good soil that yielded 100-fold. Here now he will tell us what we ought to understand by this story. He begins in verse 11. He says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So what is being shared, what we want to think of as the seed, we now hear the story through the context of the word of God is being shared. The gospel is being brought forth. The message of Jesus is being passed out. So now we can understand that in the context of this story, what he's trying to say is that we, in some sense, are the soil. And his message is what's being shared to the people. The people are the soil. His message is the seed. So now we try to understand, okay, well, how can I understand the different types of soil? I'm not made of rock. I don't have thorns on me. So what is it that we're trying to understand within this story? He now here gets to beginning to explain the different ones. In verse 12, he says this, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So the first person, the first type of person, the first kind of heart that is ready to receive is the one who hears the word, but immediately the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. This can happen in many kind of ways. It could happen from temptation. It could happen from an experience that they have. This could come and be just done through a distraction or maybe rationalization. Maybe the word comes to you and you're beginning to contemplate it and beginning to think about it. And then the whisper of the enemy comes into your ear. None of this is real. It's a fairy tale. Maybe as you're beginning to examine this, the whisper comes into your ear, yeah, but you'd have to give up too much. This isn't worth it. Something about whatever the condition of your heart is that's not ready to be good soil, when the message comes in this first person, almost immediately it's taken away. It never even has a chance to sprout. But it's immediately trampled underfoot and the birds come to devour it. So that's our first kind of person. In verse 13, we go to the next. What about the stony soil? It says this, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. So as he was describing about the rocky soil, he said it had no moisture, and it wasn't able to grow. It wasn't able to draw roots out. So with the person who hears the word, but upon hearing the word and believing it with a joyful exuberance at the first, as soon as there's a testing of faith, as soon as there's a testing of the word, they immediately fold. There's no roots being put down. There's nothing nutrient coming into their life. This is the person who goes to a large outreach kind of rally and the gospel is preached and they think, wow, that's a great thing. I'm interested in that. And they go and they follow in the altar call and they're all in. And then the next day they find out a parent is sick. And they say, oh, well, man, maybe God isn't so good. Why is my mom sick? I just accepted this message over here. I just said I wanted to follow. And now all of a sudden my mom got a cancer diagnosis. I don't know about all this. I'm going to go over here and take care of her. And maybe this was all just a bunch of malarkey. And it fades before it ever has a chance to really take hold. In verse 14, we then see about the thorn. So who is it that has a heart to receive the seed, but the thorns choke them out? In verse 14, it tells us, it says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and the fruit does not mature. So for this person, they hear the word. It comes to them and they receive it. And they begin to live within that life. But as they begin to live within that life, they get distracted by the passions and the pleasures of the world and don't press forward. Just like the first person, maybe when they first begin to consider the word, they don't ever give it a chance because of the distractions and the temptations of the world. This person, they give it a chance and they start to live in that life. But then, man, I just miss my old drinking buddies. I sure like playing pool with them on Saturday night a lot more than sitting in the pew on Sunday. I think I'm going to go join them. And then Sunday morning comes and they're in bed and not ready to wake up and they stay there. And that habit continues until the worship of the Lord falls away. Maybe this is the person who, as they begin to live into this life, they say, man, you know what? I kind of like what we're saying, but you're telling me I got to stop cursing. You're telling me I got to stop being angry with these people. You're saying I got to be fair and right in my business. I don't know. I sure do like just being me. I don't want to change. I sure do like getting what's best for me now. I don't know if I want to be honest and fair. And so these thorns, the things of the world, choke out the faith that is beginning to grow within their heart. But we identified that fourth seed, there was something different about it when we were just reading the story. It began to grow and it did grow. And it didn't just grow, but it produced fruit. Not just produced fruit, but it yielded 100-fold, it said. And so here in verse 15, we see about this last person. And this last person, it reads, as for that in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word of life hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the person who hears the word and grabs onto it with all that they have. It says with an honest and a good heart. A heart that is ready to hold on to the word of truth and live in the way that God is commanding us, even if it requires great sacrifice and change. And they bear fruit. But it's not immediate. It says that they bear fruit with patience. They stick to it. It's not like they hear the word and the next day here's all this fruit, 100-fold. No, just like with the crop, it takes time to take root, to grow, to start to grow the yield, and then to yield 100-fold. The same with our life, that we go forward in faith with great patience. When we go forward trying to move on in life and hold on to the word of God, bearing forward, knowing that it might be a minute until I see this fruit playing out. But I trust and believe that it will come. And so I hold fast with an honest and good heart. So how do we apply this to our life? I think we could see this in a couple of ways. One, we don't want to be discouraged if the seeds that we're sowing don't yield fruit. We still want to labor on. Jesus is telling us right here, only one of the four kinds of soil will bear fruit. As we're going forward and sharing his message, we ought to expect that some of those seeds are going to land on the path. Some of those seeds are going to land in the rocks. Some of those seeds will be amongst the thorns. And we don't discourage and we labor on because we also know some seeds are landing in the good soil. And to have any seed of God's word land in the good soil is worth our labor in all the others. And we don't know. The heart, the soil that today is rocky or today is covered in thorns, it might be gardened. It might be tended to and pruned over the course of life. And one day it might be good and fertile soil, ready to receive the seed and create fruit 100-fold. It is our job to labor on. And we also want to tend to the own soil in our heart. We want to examine, what does my heart look like? Am I ready to receive the message of the God? Am I ready to, as he says, hear the word of God with ears to hear and eyes to see? If I examine my own life, am I being pulled aside by distractions? Am I allowing my heart to be the kind of place where, with a good and faithful and patient heart, that the seed can continue to grow? Am I bringing about fruit? Jesus tells us that we can know one another by our fruit. And so am I bringing good fruit about in my life? This is the first parable that we examine this summer. We examine it because, as we said, Jesus teaches us in this parable about the purpose. And so as we want to be the good soil, and we want to hear his teaching, we want to be the kind of people who will look at these parables with ears to hear and eyes to see. We want to be people who are coming to his word, ready to hear whatever it is that he has to teach us. And to be shaped by it, not to come to his word with our own desires and understandings that we place on it. And we come to this parable because he gives us a pattern in which we can understand the parables. By teaching this one to us and to his disciples, we can now see, okay, I see what it looks like to hear the story and then get the application. And today, as we look at this, we can understand that in the world, there will be some who hear the word and it doesn't take. But there are others in which it's ready to take. And so our job is not just to be soil, though it is. Our job is also to be the sower of the seed, to come and share the word of God, and to do so patiently, faithfully, and joyfully. Let us pray.